got your Bible still, at 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's where we're going to be. And each night, if you like, when we read the Scripture, if you want to either leave it open or just mark it with something, keep it open in front of you, because it is such a beautiful verse. I'd like to ask you tonight to think back to the winters that you've experienced in your lifetime. Remember the gladness you felt when the cool autumn brought welcome relief from the stifling heat of the summer. Recall how eagerly you looked forward to winter, if only because the cold would be a change. But think also of the brief time that you enjoyed the cold before you were saying to yourself, "I can't wait till springtime comes." It seems like that's kind of the way we are. As I mentioned to you this morning, springtime is my favorite time of the year, and it may be that way for many of you, but let me tell you why it's special. It's not just because of the rebirth of nature and so forth, but spring is very special to me because it was in the spring, on April 4th, that I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It happened at the old Gulf Shores Baptist Assembly, the one before Hurricane Camille. And then it was my privilege, when it was rebuilt, to go back for several years and be a camp pastor for several youth weeks for many years until I got too old to do that. But spring is the time of year when nature just seems to be reborn. And it reminds me of the time that I was reborn, when Jesus Christ became the Lord of my life. He came into my life and saved me. In spring, there is new life. And it reminds me of the new life that I received. There is a new warmth. There is a new everything, a freshness and a vitality in the air that reaches out and just envelops our very beings. There is a much deeper, much more meaningful sense in which we can experience springtime in our souls. When our spirits are recreated by Christ, and there may be someone here tonight who needs that very thing. You need that work of God in your life, and you know you do. And you've been putting it off and putting it off and excusing it by maybe pointing to other people who were not what they should have been, and yet the end result is still the same. You have not come to know Christ. The person who is reborn in Christ is a person who has been freshly created. It is like you're just made all over again. Christ changes that life so drastically that it is quite possible, quite proper to say that person is a new creation altogether. In fact, that's the word the Scripture uses. He has new views about God and about Christ. He has a new attitude about the church. He has a new attitude about reading and studying God's Word and praying. He has a new attitude about other Christians. There is no area of that person's life that will not ultimately be changed dramatically by Christ. Christ invades that person so that every purpose, every plan, every goal, every hope, every aspiration are changed, remolded, redirected. And the change is so deep, so clear, and so abiding that it is quite proper to say that here is a new creation of God. Read it one more time. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Now, in order for us to understand a little more fully what is meant by that phrase, new creation, I'd like for us to compare the new birth in Christ to the new birth of nature in the spring of the year. There are several points of comparison tonight that I want to draw to your attention. And perhaps when we go through another winter and we start to see the beginnings of springtime, you'll remember some of these things. You may not remember the actual points, but that's, as I said this morning, is irrelevant. What matters is that you will remember, that you will see the trees burst into new life. You'll see the flowers coming out of the ground. You'll see the grass beginning to grow again. And you will remember that that's a wonderful picture of the kind of change that Jesus wants to bring into your life and heart. And He wants to bring into your life now. Here's the first thing. What was dead is now alive. What was dead is now alive. Now that's true in the springtime. But it's also true of the person who comes to know Christ. What was dead is now alive. In the wintertime, as you know, most of the trees and the flowers and the grasses die down during the cold weather. That apparent death caused by the lower temperatures causes the leaves to fall from the trees. It causes the fading of color in the landscape until everything is just a dull, boring, lifeless brown. It causes the disappearance of the beautiful flowers and the clover that we see and enjoy so much at other times of the year. But when springtime comes, all of that changes. There is no living plant that does not respond to the warmer temperatures. There is no living plant that does not respond to the gentle yet firm influence of the sunshine. The clover comes up again. New leaves appear on the trees. At first, maybe a tender shade of light green that deepens as the days pass. Patches of color are seen again now that the flowers are here. What was dead is now alive. When a person comes to know Christ for the first time, what a change takes place in that life. That change is so drastic, so invading, so pervasive that the new man in Christ, according to the words of Scripture, is said to be raised from the dead. And that is exactly what has happened. Because the Scripture says that having died to sin, he is now raised to walk in newness of life with Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 11 tells us this. Now just listen to this. It kind of confirms what I've been saying. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. What was dead is now alive. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, he said, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You know, having lived in Jackson for a large portion of my life, and in part of Jackson that seems to have the most problem with the Yazoo clay, I am quite familiar with potholes. I also grew used to the way that the potholes were patched. Over time, the new patch develops a hole in it, so a patch is put on top of a patch. And after a while, the patches are as high as the holes were deep. A few years ago, when I was living in that part of Jackson, I'm quite familiar with it because I had to deal with it almost on a daily basis. City officials decided that McDowell Road in South Jackson was beyond repair. For years, that's exactly what they had been doing. It seemed to be every time it rained, there was a new swell, dirt underneath it, and the asphalt would rise, and it'd be almost like you were riding in a speedboat over some pretty rough waves if you drove on McDowell Road. And so this is what they did. They had been putting patches on top of patches, and so they decided it was past the stage of a simple repair job. They didn't just put a new coat of asphalt on the top of it. They went in and literally dug up the road to a depth of several feet. And they did it, you know, a little bit at a time so traffic could still pass through. That's what I say. Why I say I had to deal with it almost on a daily basis. So they dug up the dirt, got rid of that Yazoo clay that was underneath it. It would swell when it got wet and shrink when it got dry. And they dug it up and they hauled it away and they hauled in new fill dirt from elsewhere. Packed it down and then just completely rebuilt the road. And that seemed to work. Now there's, you know, every road needs repair from time to time. You go on McDowell Road today, you'll find some patches and maybe some potholes. But it's not nearly like it used to be. Now here's the point. Christ doesn't just patch up your life. He doesn't just put a patch on top of a patch. That's our method. That's what we do spiritually. But the way Christ does it is to completely remake us. It is as though you have been raised from the deadness of sin to walk in newness of life. What was dead is now alive. Number two, what was barren is now fruitful. What was barren is now fruitful. Now, think about the majority of things in nature. Remember how in an ordinary winter around here, there are no rosebuds. I realize that there are mild winters, and sometimes you may see a rosebud or two throughout the winter, but If we have a regular winter, and certainly in other parts of the country, there are no roses on the rose bushes. There are no patches of clover in the fields. There are no beautiful green leaves on the trees. There's no fruit, at least not summer fruit. There isn't supposed to be any of those things because it is wintertime. The person outside the body of Christ does not produce fruit in his or her life. Now, they may be good people and they may do a lot of good things that help other people, but we're not talking about just good deeds. We're talking about spiritual fruit. They live lives of barrenness, but when Christ enters that life, all of that is changed. The person begins to produce other Christians. Let's stop right there just a minute and ask. And this is just a question for reflection. I'm not asking for you to respond. You think about it. Can you point to any person? At least just one person. Can you point to one person in your lifetime that knows Jesus as personal Lord and Savior because of you? Because of you.
The new man in Christ exhibits the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And all of us are a work in progress. Even those of us who have been Christians a long, long time, we still have growing up to do. The fruit still needs to be produced on a regular basis. None of us are perfect. The new man in Christ lives a fruitful life. What was barren is now fruitful. Now Jesus taught this to His disciples. In John chapter 15, we find several references to the fruit in the Christian's life. This is what Jesus said. Remain in Me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in Me, he will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. He's saying you're barren. You don't bear any fruit. In this way, My Father is glorified when you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be My disciples. There's another verse tells us of the prayer that Jesus offered for the Christians at Colossae. Colossians 1:10 reads this way. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. A well-known preacher in another century was named George Whitefield. He had been preaching up and down the countryside for several years, and when one day he was stopped on the street by a man who clearly had been drinking. And the man came up to George Whitefield, and Whitefield immediately recognized that he was anything but sober. And the man grabbed him and said, "Do you remember Me?" I want to tell you something. Preachers don't like that question. We just don't like that question. Especially the longer we've been at it and the older we get. And now I've reached the point in my life when somebody says that to me, I don't know if I went to high school with them or if I was their pastor one time years ago or if I met them at Lifeway. I just don't know. But anyway, that's what happened to George Whitefield. The man said, "Do you remember My name?" And Whitefield said, "Well, I don't." And the man said, "Why, you converted Me 10 years ago." I think it was hanging on to Whitefield to keep from... "You converted Me 10 years ago." And Whitefield came back with, "Well, I guess you are one of My converts, sir. If you were the Lord's convert, you wouldn't be where you are today." That man's life was not demonstrating the fruit of repentance. His life was still barren. Had Christ actually come into that man's life and changed him, his life that had been barren before would have then been fruitful. What was dead is now alive. What was barren is now fruitful. Number three, what was hidden is now seen. What was hidden is now seen. Now think about a flower bulb. Some of them have to be buried deep in the soil during the cold winter months so that they can burst into life in the springtime. The life is there all along in the bulbs, but it's hidden from view. The snow might cover it. hides what's underneath it. Springtime uncovers what has been hidden for months. Now, just because a person is not a Christian does not mean that that person doesn't have natural talents or abilities which were given to that person at birth, or abilities that they might have developed as they have moved through life. But when that individual is recreated in Christ, those natural talents and abilities are changed. They are redirected. They are magnified. Sometimes a person may not even realize his own qualities until Christ comes into his life. An example for us can be found in Peter. I love Peter. I really do. Kind of lets me know that no matter how many times I put my foot in my mouth, that the Lord still can use me. Peter was the spokesman pretty much for the rest of the disciples, and a lot of times he was saying things before he actually spoke, and I guess that's why I gravitate toward him. It's not that I admire that quality, it's just that I realize that I do the same thing a lot, and well, there was hope for Peter. I think there's hope for Rocky. But Peter was a rough fisherman who became a disciple of Jesus. And on the surface, he may have looked like any other person who earned his living by working hard with his hands. But Jesus saw deeper than that. He saw much deeper than that. And he knew the potential that that man had and how he could be used in the kingdom of God. It was Peter who was so transformed, so changed, so redirected, so recreated, that he became one of the boldest witnesses for Christ the world has ever seen. Christ could see what was hidden. He could see the potential that Peter had in his life to be the leading spokesman for God. Now you may have that same kind of potential. It may be that God wants you to, He wants you to speak for Him. You say, "Oh no, not me." Well, maybe not. Let's don't go there. Don't dismiss it just because that particular example might not apply to you. But there is some potential in you that the Lord wants to use. And you may have been a believer for a long, long time. And for a long, long time you've been telling yourself, "Well, there's nothing I've got that He wants." Well, why don't you let Him decide that? Stop believing the lies that come straight out of the pit of hell and let God tell you what He wants to do with you. But now, you might be outside the kingdom of God tonight. You might be not, you're not a believer. You're lost. You know you need Jesus in your life. Well, I want to tell you something. What has been hidden in your life all this time may be the ability to speak a kind word to someone. You might be an artist. Your talent is magnified when you are reborn. Your ability to speak before people may be enhanced because of Jesus. I'll tell you I've mentioned this to some of you before, but at Gulf Shore, when I was saved, when I came to know Christ at the age of 14, the preacher was 17. He was 17 years old, a freshman at Mississippi College, and one of the most, one of the shyest people you'd ever want to know. You know, standing here on the floor with him, you had a conversation with him, he'd have trouble meeting your eyes. Not because he didn't like you, he was just too shy. But when you put him behind the pulpit and open up the Bible in front of him, transformed. A different person. Not holier than thou kind of. I'm not talking about that kind of different. I'm talking about there was a power in him that was enhanced when it came time to preach. Now you've got something to say. Now you've got a picture to paint on the canvas. Now you've got a reason to heal. Now you have a reason to serve a master. You've got a witness to give. You have a message to share. You have a word of kindness to share with someone else. Now sure, God gives us spiritual gifts at our conversion, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about natural talents and natural abilities that are magnified and enhanced whenever Christ comes into our lives. What was hidden is now seen. Number four, what was silent is now heard. In the springtime, we begin to hear things that we haven't heard in months. You know, winter has a deathly calmness to it. I like snow, just like many people do. I don't like to drive in it. And sometimes when we go to Indiana to visit with Sharon's family, there'll be snow on the ground. I think twice that since we've been married, when we went up there in the wintertime, there was snow, or it snowed while we were there. I got the picture was staged, you understand. I got Sharon to take a picture of me shoveling snow. I had never shoveled snow in my life. Never had enough on the ground to have to be shoveled. And I wanted a picture of me shoveling snow. And she took a couple of pictures and I put the shovel down. That was all there was, all I wanted to do. And I like the snow. I like the way everything looks when it's covered with snow. But I want to tell you one thing I really like. I like going outside when there's snow on the ground at night. And just listen to the quiet. It seems to be quieter when there's snow on the ground. Winter has a calmness about it, a quietness about it. The slightest sound, like the crunch of snow or the snapping of a twig, just echoes. The air is brittle and it carries sound much further. There are no birds singing, though. Not when it's real cold. There are no, you do not hear as many children at play. There are no bees buzzing around the flowers. All is still. All is calm. All is silent. But then one morning, you wake up suddenly. What was that? What did you hear? What was that? Could that be? Yeah, it was a bird singing. A bird singing. Springtime is here. Buzzing of the bees, and unfortunately the wasps, is growing louder and louder. The children are out again. They're exploring a brand new world. Their voices echo back and forth. They call to each other. What was silent is now heard. I think that's a wonderful picture of the kind of transformation that happens in our lives when we come to know Christ. As pretty and glorious a scene as that is, it doesn't even compare to the tongue that has been silenced because of sin, which is suddenly released and freed to tell of what Jesus has done. The tongue, the heart, the spirit, all joined together to praise God, to share the good news of Jesus, to encourage others, to read His Word aloud, to sing, to exalt our God. Springtime in the soul is accompanied by a sincere desire to spread abroad the message of Christ. Something wonderful has happened to me, and I want to make sure that you get a chance to hear about it too. The person who could not bring himself to speak of Christ to anyone now finds that it is the most natural thing to do. The person who never praised God now finds that praise is part of his life. He is a new creature now, and he finds it much easier to speak a word of encouragement to someone who's depressed or discouraged. It just comes naturally. The message of Christ is heard by many for the very first time. And there may be people in your circle of acquaintances, in your family, in your friends, who have not heard Christ loves them. Yet, right here in America, it happened. But after she had an encounter, a confrontation with the Messiah, she went back to the town, the very town where she was so unpopular, and she began to tell everyone that the Messiah had come. What was silent was now heard. She couldn't help it. She couldn't help it. What a change is wrought in the life of a person who has been reborn. What a change. What was dead is now alive. What was barren is now fruitful. What was hidden is now seen. What was silent is now heard. What a change. So I want to ask you tonight, and you may have been a Christian, you may have been a member of this church a long time. You may have been a member of another church. But tonight, maybe you've come face to face with the reality that maybe that wasn't enough to get you into the kingdom. You're a good person. I'm not talking about that. I'm not denying that you're a good person. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? It's not religion. I don't like the word. I don't like the word. It doesn't describe Christianity. The relationship that I have with Jesus is not a religion. It's not a religion. And the relationship, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that is not a religion. It is a relationship with the best friend you could ever have. So I want to ask you this though. Is your life dead to sin but alive to God? Well, it can be tonight. Is your life fruitful? It can be tonight. Are the natural talents and abilities that God has given you magnified in your work for Christ? They can be, starting tonight. Has your tongue been released from silence so that you're able and willing to speak of Christ without shame or embarrassment? It can be tonight. Tonight can be the brand new beginning for you. It can be like that moment when you wake up and you realize it's springtime. And God can say to you tonight, I want to come into your life no matter what the temperature's like outside. I want to come into your life tonight and say to you, I love you enough to have died on the cross for you. I paid the penalty for your sins so that you don't have to be dead anymore. You don't have to be barren anymore. You don't have to hide from me anymore. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. New creation. The old has gone. The new has come. The new life that Christ offers can be yours this very night. According to that clock right there, it's 7:20. You know, before that hand reaches the six, you can have this brand new life. It can be yours tonight if you will accept it. The Scripture says, come, whoever will, accept the water of life as a gift, whoever wants it. That's the key. Do you want it? Do you want it?